Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. And now our New Testament reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Short prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning to share your word. We pray, Lord, that your word would go out and touch the hearts and minds of all of us here. Encourage us, Lord, in your grace and your love. Be with us and guide us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. For those who aren't aware, and don't know me, hi, I'm Steve Mercier. I'm one of your ruling elders here at UPC Lake Nona. And Pastor BJ wanted to have an intern, a deacon, and an elder share a sermon with you reflecting each of these offices. His desire was to help explain a bit of each of these offices so the church body might better understand those offices and how they relate to you, the church. Now, we've had Angel Roman, who gave a beautifully very good sermon as an intern. Next, you had Nick LaFountain accurately present the office of deacon. Now you have me, because there is no one else. In your bulletin, you will notice that underneath where it says, well, I'm going to be talking to you today, it's blank. Normally, you would see little blanks to be filled in and a key verse. Well, there aren't any there, because I'm going to do things a tad bit different. I will be saying three important points during the sermon. I will be mentioning one or two key points during the sermon. See if you can find them. It's a listening game. Anyway, lately we've had these little cards. We've all seen them for picking somebody to be an officer for elder or deacon, right? Well, we've had them out there, and I would like to recommend somebody. I know a person. I've heard a lot about them. And I'd like to offer this person to you for be considered as a church to support for being an elder for us. Now, if I told you his name, you would already know him, and you'd say, of course. I don't want you to be biased in your choice. Your opinion should be completely, know the facts first. So I'm going to give you some of his background so you won't be biased by his name. He's never built or started a church. He has never been on TV or radio. He doesn't have his own website. He doesn't even have a Facebook account. He's never owned a house. He had to stay in friends' houses, as a matter of fact. There's a rumor. Now, we don't pay too much attention to rumors, but his morality has been questioned by some people about he's never accordingly be officially known to be married, yet he talks to other men as his son. There's some questions, but don't let that influence you, please. He's had to work side jobs just to get by. He's always moving. He never stays in one place. He's a bit of a drifter. He's not a good public speaker. He doesn't dress too well either. He's just kind of common looking. Sometimes you have to wonder if he ever knows what a comb is. When he has the opportunity to speak, he goes on for hours and hours and hours. He loves to get into a public controversy. Oh, he enjoys challenging people. He has been arrested numerous times, and he has got the status of a habitual offender for as many prison terms. He's been accused of murder and boasted about it. Really, is this the kind of man you want for an elder? What kind of an elder would he make? Come on now, think about it. Maybe some of you have already guessed who I'm talking about. How many know? Yeah? A few, yeah? Okay. He is Saul of Tarsus. We call him Paul. He's an apostle. What makes him so great? After being called, there's a key word here, called, by Jesus on his way to Damascus, he becomes the apostle we all know. I want to carry this a little bit further. We know about his letters to Timothy and Titus regarding the qualifications for deacons and elders. I want to look at another perspective of this guy. So let's go to the other end of the pool. Let's go down to the deeper end of the pool and tread water for a while. François-Marie Arnouet. Does anyone know who this person is? Does anyone know who Voltaire is? He said, if you want to debate with me, first define the terms. So let's talk about shepherds and shepherding by defining the term. This should be a relatively simple academic process. Any high school kid should be able to do this. Shepherd is a noun. Shepherding is a verb. Real simple. Easy? Yeah? No? Scripture calls the Lord Jesus the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, which Jason just read to us, cites only one shepherd. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, which we also read, calls elders to be shepherds. So how many shepherds are there? When we look to Scripture for lists and duties of an elder and a deacon and a Christian, there's much of these duties and responsibilities that overlap. So how many shepherds are there? Let's dive into Peter. Before we dive into Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, let's go tread water over the other side of the pool here for a moment. When we read in John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them, also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. There we learn there is but one shepherd and one flock. When Jesus says there are other sheep that are not of this fold, and he must bring them also, Jesus is referring to all people. His current flock are the Jews. The other sheep are the Gentiles of the world. Later we read in John 21, verses 15 to 17, this is after the resurrection, Jesus talks to Peter after on the shore after breakfast. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Wow. Now, we could take this little passage and swim around here for a week. However, I don't see that anyone has brought a lunch with them, so let's just go to one of the little high points, one key point I want to make. There's only one shepherd and one flock. Jesus Christ is our one and only shepherd. There is no other. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, Jacob says, the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the Lord has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. We read in Psalm 23 that the Lord is our shepherd. In Psalm 100, verse 3, after the first two that we read earlier, know the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. There's only one flock, those who believe in Christ alone for salvation and profess Him as their Lord belong to His flock. We are a varied flock. We come from many folds. There are some that are spotted, some sheep that are spotted. There are some sheep that have funny faces and horns. In Scotland, they have a very famous, typical Scottish sheep. It's got a black-faced head, horns that curl around, and its body's white. Some of us are kind of weird looking. I see them every morning in the mirror. Some have fleece that is as fine and soft as silk. The point is, we are all the same flock. We are the Church of Christ. So, who is Peter? Is he another shepherd? Is that what he's saying? No, Peter is to follow the shepherd's directions and feed the flock. Feed with the word of God. He is to tend the flock, to keep it safe from the wolves and give green pastures to lie in and lead them to safety. Okay, let's go over here now and start with 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Now here's Peter's guidance for the elders on how to be an elder. We know, of course, again, from Peter's writing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, and Titus chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. So we don't have to go over the details and qualifications of an elder. So verse 1, it says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. These elders are to be like Peter. Now notice how Peter begins. The elder to elder, brother to brother. He exhorts them. This is interesting as he follows this with a reference to his being a witness to Christ's ministry, his suffering, and his resurrection. So although he has the authority to command, he exhorts. That is, he begs them. In verse 2, he said, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. These elders are to be like Peter. Notice how Peter again, he tells them to be a shepherd of the flock, of God's flock. This exhortation is followed by three contrasting statements. These tell how to shepherd and how not to shepherd. First, serving as not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. As Nick said last week, we who are elders, deacons, leaders, are to do this office because we want to do it out of love. As God would have you. As God would have you means it is a calling. Elders are called by God. They have a deep love for the Lord and for the flock. This is something that is not forced upon them, not upon men who are unwilling to serve. Their passion is serving. Second, the elders are not to serve for fame or gain, but for eagerly. There's no exalted position, not on the big stage with a fancy chair that looks like a small throne. That's not for the elder. just the opposite. Third, the motivation for elders will be divine, not human. Notice that the reflexing here between motivation and divine. It's not because you think you should do it. It's because God wants you to do it. It is not to be financial. No money, no property, no fancy robes, no exalted positions. No, you're not going to have a little bit under the table. Not even a fancy car. But enthusiasm and zeal for God and His work will be the motivation for the elders. In verse 3, it says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Elders are not to be the lords over the entrusted them. He doesn't say, these are mine, I own them, and I'm going to tell them what to do. Elders should endeavor to be example for Christ's sheep. That elders, the wording here, that elders should endeavor is to be examples, implies no elder is perfect. Only Christ is perfect. Elders and deacons have a pattern to follow. There is nothing like the modern job description for either elder or deacon. We have the entire Bible. All Scripture is our guidebook. Scripture is our how-to manual. And none of us can claim to be able to follow it 100%. Our love of God, our desire to follow Christ's example, our passion for God's kingdom on earth, our honest desire to feed and tend the flock is our focus. In verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Although this may sound like something of a special reward, remember also the judgment for elders and deacons will be a higher standard. There is something that entered into the great that is entered into with great humility and fear. For myself, this was a very sober and prayerful time for preparation. I had read the book The Reformed Pastor by Richard Baxter many years ago. Before I attempted to take any written exam for elder, I reread the book slowly and prayerfully. And this took a while. And when I knew in my heart that this really was a calling, that I then submitted myself to the test and examinations. Am I ready to face my Lord's judgment? Yes and no. My conscience is clear, but I know my faults, and I pray for more grace. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, in verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Who are the younger? This may refer only to the young men in general, to the office of younger men, that is, younger elders, or possibly to all men who are younger spiritually. Now, there exists a lot of discussion by a lot of authors about this. The consensus is that it's usually the first interpretations is most likely, just to young men in general. However, I want to point out the most obvious in here, not who's the junior or whatever. Humility to one another is a key point of all this passage. It is for the entire flock, equally for teaching elders, ruling elders, deacons, the nursery worker, the coffee makers, the greeters, the sitters in chairs, all of us. Humility to one another. A favorite verse of mine, many decades ago, is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Again, by this guy named Paul. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So, let's recap a little bit. The shepherd is Jesus Christ. There are no other shepherds. Jesus, our only good shepherd. He loves us so much. He gave his life for us. No other shepherd would do this for his flock. If the wolf attacked the flock, he'd try and save as much as he could, recognizing that some of the flock will have to be sacrificed to feed the wolves. Not so Jesus. Our salvation is from Christ alone, through grace alone. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was for us, his sheep, his flock. He humbled himself for his flock so that his flock would have eternal life with him. If you do not believe that Christ is your Savior, we pray that you would. We're here for you. If you have questions or anyone doesn't know for certain, elders, deacons, pastor, we're all here for you. Even other brothers and sisters here will be glad to answer any questions of anybody. If you have recently believed in Christ as your Lord and Savior, welcome to the flock. So, what is shepherding for an elder? Elder, someone who is called to serve the flock of Jesus. An elder recognizes the only true good shepherd, Jesus, and follows his commands and does his will. An elder is responsible for guarding the flock from danger, alert for false doctrine, contention among believers, seeing to the spiritual wellness of the flock, ensuring the flock is richly fed on the Word of God. An elder is not proud or authoritarian. He leads with humility. You may wonder, what does this look like in real life? I like analogies, examples, if you will, because I realize sometimes when I'm talking, you hear words, and you kind of figure, well, what's this like, and you know, how could I apply this? So, here's a leading question. How many of you know what Merino sheep are? Smart lady, you know your wool. Unless you know about Merino wool, you probably haven't a clue. Merino sheep are prized for their very fine wool and fleece. A Merino wool sweater is almost like a thick silk sweater. Merino sheep are common to New Zealand. They like the mountains. If any of you watched The Hobbit or The Fellowship of the Rings, that was filmed a lot in Scotland and into New Zealand. And these mountains, you can remember, they're pretty substantial mountains. Well, there's little patches of green grass and whatnot up there. And there's some pretty low valleys down below. The winters in the mountains are cold and wet and snowy. The summers in the valleys are hot and humid. Just think of having a big, heavy wool coat on all the time. The shepherds move the flocks to the mountains in the summer because it's cooler and there's a lot of grass. And the valleys are hot. In the winter, there's not going to be much to eat. There's a lot of snow. It's not a good place to be with a wet wool coat on. So they come to the valleys where it's warmer and there's green pastures. An average flock will be between 20,000 and 30,000 sheep. Now, how does a shepherd get all those sheep from one place to the other and back and forth? Well, with the help of sheepdogs, of course. I watched a documentary on the Smithsonian Channel sometime back, and this is how it was done. Winter was coming, and the shepherd had two dogs. And they flew his dogs and him up in a helicopter to a high point of the mountains. Now, there were grassy areas and rock cliffs all over the mountains. The sheep were scattered all over these mountains. They're left to go and just graze as they will, having a good time. Under the commands and direction of the shepherd, the dogs carefully ascended the mountain and gently moved the sheep down. They did not want to panic the sheep to make them run and get excited, because if they did, sure enough, they'd go over a cliff and die. As the day progressed, these dogs safely guided the 20 to 30,000 sheep down the mountain. After a few days, all the sheep were in the valley. The dogs did what they were called, inherent to their breed, to do. the dog's reward was the approving, loving hand of the shepherd. Good boy. Well done. In the same way, elders follow the commands and directions of the Lord, our good shepherd, and work to bring his flock to the safety of the shepherd. Their reward will be the approving, loving hand of Jesus. Good job, buddy. That's all I have. I'm sorry. Hold on.